Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Church, how you guys all doing? Good. Well, hey, I am excited for today's message. It's amazing the things you hear in a week, just talking with different people. And, you know, I had an idea when I put this series together, Life Hacks, that we would end and land today. But we're not. We're not landing yet. We're landing next week. And sorry, I have a spacer week next weekend. Was like, I could teach whatever I want. And instead, I'm like, you know what? And so this week, I was talking with a few different people, and they were all talking about how they felt like they were in a rut. How many of you ever felt like you're in a rut in life? Any of you ever feel that way? Whether you're in a rut in a relationship, in a rut just in life as a parent, in a rut at your job, in a rut in your marriage, in a rut in your quiet time with God, just reading the Bible, you just feel like you're in a rut. I can tell you right now, I am in a rut right now. I can feel that, just where it's just sort of, you just, I don't know how to explain it. I feel like I currently am in this, I think our marriage is good. Parenting, I'm like, I lean more towards the, I can not be as patient as I would like right now. And I feel like my quiet times are not as I want them to be. And so I realized, man, I'm in a rut too. And then as I looked more, I realized I see that I get in a rut in May a lot. And May, and I was talking with a good friend of mine this morning, and just how when you see those trends in life, it's good to notice them. And so I'm in a rut, but I don't want to be in this rut. I don't want to stay here. I don't want to continue. But the thing is, sometimes ruts, we all go through ruts in life, right? You're either in one now, you either just came out of one, or tomorrow morning you're walking into one. And if you're walking into one tomorrow, I'm so sorry. Hopefully, my hope today is to give you hope and to give you some strategies on how to get out of ruts, how to get out of those ruts in life. And if you're not in a city group, I'm going to tell you right now, you want to go to a city group this week. You want to get into one. There's two on Tuesday. There's one on Thursday. Get to one of those this week, because I know the discussions this week are going to be good, because we're going to be real. Because how many of us have ever been in ruts in life? Who? Who's ever been in a rut in your life? You just sort of feel like you're in this mundane routine, and you feel like, I need to get out of this. We all have been there, so that means discussion will be amazing. Whether you're on Tuesday nights, we have one at my house on Tuesdays, Daryl's on Tuesdays, with Jasmine at her house, or Jared leads it on Thursdays. Get to one of them. I'm telling you. It will be so rewarding. Every week will be rewarding, but when there's a message like this, there's something that happens when we can all be real. Because we all go through ruts. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get started. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, that you enter into our ruts with us. God, that we're not in them alone. As your word says, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Lord, you're with me. Lord, you're with me. In that valley where it seems so dark and we cannot see the light at the end, Lord, you're with us. You enter into those dark places with us. Lord, you enter into those hopeless places with us. Lord, you do not leave us alone, but Lord, you're there with us. And so, God, I know some of us, we're in that rut. We're in that valley. We're in that sort of tough spot right now. And God, I ask that today you'd give us hope. Speak to us now. Lord, as there are people at churches all over the valley, whether they're at Palmcroft or Desert Bible Church or Cross Church or Gateway, Lord, wherever your people are, God, speak to them. Speak to us at City View in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you would turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, we're going to meet a guy. We actually don't ever know his name, but we know the guy that helps him get out of his rut. We're going to meet this guy who had been in a rut, as far as I know, for over 30 years. Can you imagine being in a rut for 30 years of your life, doing the same thing, same routine? I don't want to go too much into my personal, because we're going to get there. But there's this guy, John chapter 5, verse 1. It says, afterwards, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holidays. And inside the city, near the sheep gate, was a pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men laying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him, he knew he had been ill for a long time, and he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" And the man says, "I can't." The sick man said, "For I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." So we meet this guy here in chapter 5. We don't ever know his name. We just know that he's been lame. He cannot move. For 38 years, he's been sick. And he's in this situation where he's surrounded by a bunch of people like him. Is that not sort of how ruts are? You start surrounding yourself with people that are like you, who sort of are grumpy, who are not in good attitudes. You sort of get stuck in this rut, and all of a sudden you look around, and you're wondering, well, I'm depressed, and they're depressed. Man, we all must be going through something. Or you surround yourself with a bunch of sad people, and instead of trying to get out, you're like, well, I'm just going to sit here and just be sad. And this guy is sort of in this situation where he's surrounded, and he can't see any hope. He can't see any way of getting better. And so he's stuck. He's stuck in this moment where everybody else around him seems stuck too. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there where it just sort of seems like everybody around you is sort of stuck and nobody's trying to move forward and nobody's doing anything? You're wondering, man, what's wrong? And so you sort of go back to these same moments, these same places, and that's what this guy did. And this man thought the only way he could get better, do you see the rut he's in? The only way he can get better is if he gets in that pool. Now, we don't know exactly what happens. There is not a lot of history. There's not a lot of evidence. We really do not know much about these pools, the stirring of the spirit, and all these things of some kind of spirit, of something that would happen to where people would get into this water and be healed. We do not know anything about that. We don't know a lot of history about it. We know that this guy, that's not what happens to him. We know that Jesus enters his story and this guy never gets into the water. We know that. But in this guy's mind, the only way he can get better, the only way things will change in his life is if this one thing happens. How many of us have ever thought there's only one solution for our problem and we keep doing it, we keep going, and we're in this rut, we keep trying to figure it out this one way. Have you ever been there? He just can't see past this one thing. And that's where this guy is. He's stuck. He has gotten so stuck in his thinking that he couldn't see the one who's standing in front of him. He's so stuck in what he's thinking. He's so stuck in his own moment that he cannot see who's in front of him. He can't even hear the voice speaking. We get there too. We can't hear the voices speaking around us. We can't see what's in front of us, and we can't imagine the hope that we could have. And here's what this guy, he knows what he knows, and he doesn't know anything else. Have you ever been there where you sort of, you know what you know, and you don't care about anything else? You know it. This is how it's going to work. This is how it's worked in the past. This is how it's going to work now, and this is how it's going to work in the future. And you get in this rut of life, and that's this guy. He's stuck. And Jesus asked this guy a simple, yet maybe dumb question. Do you want to get better? And his response is, I can't. I'm in a rut. I can't. There's no way out. I can't. There's nothing I can do. I can't. I can't change. I can't see what can be done. Or maybe your rut is, but they won't change. God's not listening to me. It's not going to make a difference if I change anything. Nothing's going to change. We get into this rut, it's not my fault. We get into these ruts where we can't see what's in front of us. And this guy says, I can't. And we come up with all these reasons why we can't get out of this rut. It's a marriage rut. They can't change. I won't change. It can't get any better. Have you ever been there? It can't get any better. As parents, you're like, my kid will never change. They're never going to get better. They're never going to succeed in school. Let me tell you, that we've been in that rut. We might be in that rut right now. We've been in that rut. Or maybe it's a rut with work. They can't see that they need to change. All these ruts that we can get in where we cannot see anything around us. We can be just like this guy. But do we have people in our lives willing to step into our ruts and pull us out? Do you have people in your lives that are willing to step into your ruts and pull you out? I have a friend, and you have to be willing to be pulled out too. I have a friend right now, a pastor friend, and he just told us that he's leaving his wife. And let me tell you, I've called him. There's a group of pastors. I mean, I'm not so stuck. There's some pastors that just get so stuck. I have so many different pastors' friends, and we just pour into each other, encourage each other. And let me tell you, this guy has so many guys rallying around him. And he said, she won't change and I'm not willing to try. You want to know what I want to do? Punch him. I'm like, dude, you can't give up. But we get stuck in this rut and we cannot see hope. And that's where this guy is. But Jesus is willing to get dirty. Jesus is willing to take a risk. Jesus is willing to get down in the mud of this guy's rut. It says in verse 8, and Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. Jesus loved the push buttons too. So Jesus steps in and he gets into this guy's rut. And Jesus says three things. He says, stand up, pick up, and walk. He says, stand up. Stand up in your weakness. Stand up in your rut and believe. Believe that you can change. Stand up and believe. But don't just let it just sort of believe it. Jesus says, but I want to give you the power to overtake it. And so then he says, pick up. Realize you can get out. He says, now stand up. I want you to realize you have the power now to pick up your mat, something you've never picked up before, something you've never carried before. I want you to pick that up. And then he says, now walk. Now walk. He says, I want you now to walk, to get moving. Because here's the thing. If you get out of a rut, you don't want to just sit on the lip. You got to move far away from that place. I was talking to a friend this week, and he was telling me what he does to when he knows that, okay, I have the potential to get back into my rut. What I do is I tell my wife, he says. I say, honey, I'm about to get into a rut. Whether it's drinking or whatever, he goes, I know I'm going to get there. I need your help to help me stay accountable. I know this is what happens when these things line up. And so he knows this. So he wants to walk away from that rut. So he has people around him that are willing to pull him out of that rut. And that's what this guy is told. Jesus says, get up and go. But here's the thing. Anytime you get out of a rut, you always have the naysayers. You always have those that are wanting to pull you back down. And look at this. It says in verse 10, so the Jewish leaders objected, and they said to the man who was cured, you can't work on the Sabbath. They got so hung up that he was carrying his mat. And they said, you can't carry that on the Sabbath. He goes, dude, I just got healed. This guy, he goes, some dude just pulled me out of my rut, out of my pit, out of this mess that I've been in for 38 years. Somebody just help me. And they just started pointing at him, and all of a sudden he meets Jesus again. And where does Jesus find him? It says there, in verse 14, Jesus finds him in the temple, a place that he probably had never been. And he's worshiping God. And Jesus tells him, go and sin no more. See, here's the thing. So many times we find ourselves in ruts because we're making choices we shouldn't be. Sometimes, no, it's just a matter of life. But sometimes the rut that we're in is because of the choices that we make that lead us to a place we shouldn't be. So here's what we want to do this morning. Is I want to help you identify, am I in a rut? And I want to help identify and help you give strategy to get out of a rut. So if you guys would please welcome up on the stage with me, Melissa Evans. Melissa is a doctor of psychology, and she's a professor at Grand Canyon University. She's also my friend, and she goes to my city group on Tuesday night. So her and I were talking the past couple city groups, because they've just been good, and we've been talking about different things, about whether it's ruts or different things that we call it. And so I asked Melissa on Tuesday, I said, hey, will you help me on Sunday to give people tools, regarding ruts in life. So, Melissa, thank you so much again for joining me this morning and for helping me with today's message. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries.
So, Melissa, what are some signs that you've seen as you help? I know Melissa and her husband, they help people a ton. With whether just in life, like they've helped us with kids, they've helped other people in here with kids, people with just understanding their situations and what's going on in their brain and all those different things. They are just, if you don't know them, get to know them. But Melissa, as you have done, just help people, you and your husband, what are some signs you've seen of people being in ruts?
So we see this a lot. Actually, that's probably one of the first reasons why people tend to come to therapy or seek out our services, because they're really struggling with something. And so some of the things that we notice is people tend to say, if they're in a rut, that every day seems to be the same. Okay, so that might be an example of like Monday is no different than Tuesday, right? So every day is just kind of, you know, the same thing over and over again, and it's not really changing for you. Secondly, the other thing that people say is that you feel like you're just trying to get through another day. So basically you wake up in the morning and you're just kind of putting one foot in front of the other, right? You're just kind of going through the motions. An example would be, I have a friend that tells me, well, when I go to work, I feel like that my job, I'm just going because I have to pay my bills. Right? It's not something that's fulfilling. It's not something that I find interesting or that I'm passionate about. Find something that you're passionate about, right? Find something that you're excited to do. And if you need help with that, seek out help. Another thing too, since I work at GCU, I deal a lot with college students. And so oftentimes college students are like, well, gosh, you know, I don't know what I want to do with my life. They might start off in English majors and then they change it to communications majors, and they're just kind of going through the motions and not really feeling like that they know what they're supposed to do. That can also be another example of just kind of feeling like you're getting through the day. Another thing that we notice is that people lack motivation. So it would be like...
How many of you have ever been there?
I lack motivation all the time.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's okay. So when you lack motivation, an example of this is when you may have the desire, right, to change. You may have the desire to take on new projects, to learn a new skill, right? But even when you do so and you try to make that attempt, your motivation dwindles. Right? You just can't stick with it. An example for me would be a licensing exam. Okay, so I've had to take my licensing exam a couple times. I failed it by 1 point the last time I took it. And so part of my motivation to take that is really low, because I didn't do so hot on it, right? And so kind of building that motivation behind me to take the time every day to study and just to take time to make that a priority has been a really big challenge for me. So another thing, too, is that when people are in a rut, they often feel unfulfilled. Basically, you desire to change, but you have a difficult time trying to figure out what you're supposed to do, right? You're just kind of going through life. An example of this would be you may be in a job or relationship that's good for now. So whatever's going on for you is good for right now, but I just really don't know if this is what I want to do long term.
Now, why can that be? Because I know a lot of people that can feel this. Why can that be such a bad rut to be in, the unfulfilled rut?
Because you are living a life that is not really who you should be, right? Who God wants you to be. If you feel like you're unfulfilled in some way in a relationship or at your job, pray about it. Go to the Lord in prayer and talk to him and figure out what you are passionate about and what you should be doing. Oftentimes, if we're not fulfilled, it's hard to fulfill our partner. It's hard to fulfill, you know, our children as parents. So I always ask parents all the time, like, who's filling your cup? Right? Who's filling up you? You're so busy pouring into your coworkers or your spouse or your kids, but who's filling up for you? That's your job. That's your job, is to take care of you as well. So that's another thing too that we'll talk more about.
Yeah, we're going to get on to that, but that is so key of when we start filling our cup with so many other things, you will be unfulfilled. Your marriage will be unfulfilled. Parenting will be unfulfilled. Your job will be unfulfilled. So when you're looking, pointing at them going, I don't want to be with you, and whatever it is, more than likely it's because you're filling your cup up with the wrong things. That's good. Thank you. That's really good.
Yeah.
What was the last?
The last one is that you want change, but you fear the temporary discomfort that may come with it. So not allowing yourself to ask for help from either your friends or significant others, to maybe allow people to see your vulnerabilities, so hiding that part of you, that all takes courage. So it's important to get out of a rut. You need to be comfortable with the uncomfortable. Right? You have to be okay with not knowing the answer and pushing yourself. If you don't have that inside of you, no one else will give it to you. So it is important that you seek that, and that almost like if there's this fear that Jared had talked about a few sermons ago, embrace that and use that as your motivation to change.
Now, you had me watch a video about our brain and how our brain likes to be comfortable. It does it. Tell us a little bit about that, because that really goes along with this point on it's a natural thing for where our brains go.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know a lot about the brain, I'm not going to go into details, but what it basically does is its primary function, obviously, is to help keep us alive. Right? So that's its primary goal, to keep us safe, to basically send messages to the rest of our body to basically prevent any discomfort, to prevent any pain or dysregulation. Okay, so that's its job. This is why when we try to help people getting out of ruts, or when you feel yourself stuck in a rut, it's really hard to get out of that, because your natural response of your brain is saying, no, wait a second here, let's just keep everything the same, because that's its protective mode. So part of getting out of a rut, that's what makes it so hard, is because you are really battling what you are naturally supposed to be doing, what your brain's supposed to be doing.
Wow, that's so good. So Melissa, what are some strategies that you can give us to help get out or to get unstuck in these ruts? And we saw here, Jesus helped a guy get out of a rut, but this guy had to be willing to admit he needed help. Even though he said, I can't, he had to believe that Jesus could. So he had to, there was an action he had to do. He had to actually believe he could stand up. He had to believe that. And then he had to believe he could pick up. And then he had to believe that he could walk and move forward. So what are some strategies, Melissa, that you found have really helped people?
Okay, so some of the things that my husband and I like to do is talk about things that you can do to help your mind or help your brain kind of trick yourself to becoming a little bit more motivated and getting yourself out of a rut. So the first thing to remember is that self-care is not selfish. Okay, self-care is not selfish. Just because the word self is in there does not mean that you are being selfish by taking care of you. Okay?
Psalm 119, verse 114 says, you are my refuge and my shield. Your word is my source of hope. So tell us why that verse, you sent that verse to me, why that verse really stuck out to you as you looked at self-care is not selfish.
Well, for me, for my self-care personally, I like to just have like 10 minutes to pray. I remember I've really been struggling myself with doing my devotions every day. I really want to, but I oftentimes just get myself in a rut, like you talked about, and just really struggling to find time. And oftentimes, if I spend 10 minutes before an appointment, or I'm in the carpool lane, or I'm at a stoplight, I just spend that 10 minutes just praying to God. Or you can just get to an appointment early and look over like a devotional or a plan or something in the Bible app. For me, though, defining self-care is pretty much saying that you need to fill your own cup. So self-care prevents you from overload burnout. It reduces negative effects of stress and helps you really refocus. So it's really important for all of us to make time each day for ourselves. And that should hopefully include your walk with God, whether it be devotions or just praying.
If you look at this self-care, looking at, okay, who's filling my cup? Psalm 119, what's the focus of that verse 114? Who's filling the author's cup? says, you are my refuge. You are my shield. But so many times what happens is when we start filling our cup with the satisfaction of work or these other things, all of a sudden it's not fulfilling. But this says you realizing just being, okay, God, you're my refuge, you're my shield, and your word is my source of hope. So to get out of a rut, you say to push yourself to make time for yourself daily. And so you and I were talking about, you know, making like in that carpool lane as a parent. Because how many parents are busy? Your life is like lived on busy. That's just what you do. And so finding time is like, when do I have time to do anything? Some of us, I get that. And so Melissa and I were talking about some things. It's like realizing you have that 10 minutes in the lane while you're picking up your kids. Or realizing you have that time in the morning. You know, my wife and I, we treasure our cup of coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
And some of you, have you ever seen that cup of coffee that says, don't talk to me until it gets to this line? And you could think, is that selfish? No, the thing is, you have to have those moments. You have to have those moments, whether you're 10 years old or whether you're 70, 80 years old. You have to have those moments to yourself where you can just sort of be ready for your day, whether it's morning or evening, just having that time to do some self-care. So, Melissa, there is a strategy that you gave in here that my wife realized she's already doing called mindfulness and grounding strategy. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so we do this a lot just to have quiet time or quiet space. Oftentimes it's helpful for people with like anxiety, just to help your focus become more directive. So one of the things that I talk about is talking about the, you know, finding five things basically that you see around you. And then notice after you do that, you find four things that you can feel. So you're focusing a lot on your senses. So five things that you see around you, then focus on four things that you can feel.
Oh, now I see what those numbers were for.
Yeah.
I thought you just went backwards in your number counting.
No.
You had a purpose.
There is a purpose. Your brain actually works better if you count backwards instead of forwards,
yeah,
because it actually
like you
makes
just
you shift direction.
So go for it. So five things you can see around you.
Yep. Four things that you can feel.
Okay.
Three things that you can hear.
Okay.
Two things that you can smell. And then the last thing is one thing that you can taste. And it can just be like a piece of gum in your mouth. But noticing, so being mindful and noticing those things around you can just be your self-care, can be your quiet time. Just helping yourself refocus is really important.
That is so true. The second thing you said that we could do to help get out of a rut is exercise. Get up. Romans 12:1 says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. So what are some things that you've seen with exercise?
So research shows that, you know, the best way to help increase or elevate your mood is to actually exercise. And for people that don't exercise, you know, they're like, I don't have time to exercise, right? I've got so much going on. Even if it's just 5 minutes during your lunch break, you take a 5 or 10 minute walk. Or maybe you choose to take the stairs, right, instead of riding the elevator. That's all part of exercise. So what we do know is that exercise can actually increase your brain cells. It improves your memory, your concentration and sleep, and it actually gives you kind of a distraction and helps you break that cycle of contemplation and negative thinking. So there's lots of things that you can benefit from exercise, and that's why it's one of the most recommended things that we do for moods and stuff like that.
And this morning we were talking about how sometimes some of us are like, I have not exercised in the last 30 years. Start small. In any of these things, start small, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Go for a 5 minute walk, 5 minutes of reading God's word, 1 minute of prayer, small baby steps. My son is joining a swim team, Ezra. So this week, all they had him doing for the first 4 days was swim like half of the length of the pool with help. Now, it was all to build up to swim the whole length of the pool, which I'm looking going, I would be tired. But it's baby steps, baby steps.
Yeah, it's learning to shape that behavior, so.
Man, and this one, the third thing, redesign and redefine. This, man, I am a creature of habit. I was talking to Melissa, having a session this morning. no, but really, I was like reading through these things. She said, I'm like, I am such a creature of habit. I do the same thing every morning. My mornings, I wake up, I sit in the exact same seat on my couch, and I have my quiet time in the corner of my couch. If you've ever been to my house, it's the corner seat. That's where I have my quiet time. The rest of the week, I never sit there. And then I go to work, and my desk is the same. It's there, and I'm looking going, I am a creature of habit. God says this, but all things should be done decently and in order, redesigned and redefined. He says, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all peace as in all the meetings of God's holy people. So tell us a little bit about the importance of redesign and redefine, and don't worry about that clock. We've got time.
Okay. So to get out of a rut, redesigning would be redesigning your space. Okay. How many of you guys think that your house or your living space is pretty organized? Okay. Some of you. Okay, most of us are like, heck no, it's not organized.
On Tuesdays it is, but.
Maybe one day a week, right? But every other day it's not. So one of my biggest things that I tell parents and clients that we see is redesign your space. So go through, just pick a room, whether it's your family room or your office that you go to or even your bedroom, and redesign it, meaning organize it, right? Get in there and clear it of clutter. Now, for those people, because I've had this said to me before, well, I do better when my environment's a little bit chaotic. I think better, I'm more artistic. That's great, but that doesn't sustain. What we do know is that even those people that thrive in chaos, right, they still, when they start a new project, they're still having to go back at the drawing board and start over again and finding those tools that are, you know, that they typically use. So it is important to have that organization. Another thing to get out of rut is redefining your purpose. So become curious. Reflect on what gets you excited in life. And basically, it's not about necessarily having to find your dream job or work for your dream company. Instead, it's about connecting and reflecting with who you are and the gifts that God gave you and what you're good at. Look at those and use those to your advantage. That's what God created you for. So that's one of the biggest things that we talk about too.
You know, as I'm thinking about redefine and looking, you know, thinking about, we were talking about relationships this morning, and even as parents, you know, relationships, redefine, just looking, going, why did we get married to begin with? There was a reason. We were in love. And looking at that, or, you know, even being parents, like, okay, redefining that, realizing, okay, my purpose, you know, and looking at that. So maybe speak on, maybe on the parenting side a little bit to those parents who just feel like, I am in a rut and I need to redefine my purpose as a parent.
So redefining your purpose as a parent is a really hard thing to do. I'm a parent and my daughter is in college and I still feel like I am redefining myself every day. I learn something new about myself. And I think it is important, despite the fact that what I do for a living and what my husband does, we are still human and we make mistakes. And there are times when I feel like that I am not any good at anything, let alone being a parent, and that the advice I'm giving isn't the greatest, or maybe I'm not there enough. These are all things that parents go through, but helping ground yourself in God's word and helping yourself rely on your partner or your significant other to really just communicate and talk about things is going to help you redefine your purpose. Also, looking at how to strengthen your relationship with your children. So looking at not necessarily the discipline aspect, but what can I do to make this a positive experience? So what am I learning from this? What am I, you know, is what I'm giving out as a punishment or as a redirective, is that working for us? If not, what do I need to do? You know, really just trying to show God's love in your parenting is really hard because I struggle with that every day, so.
Another strategy to get out of a rut, reward yourself for small accomplishments and have an attitude of gratitude. I love that, attitude of gratitude. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is the will of, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So why don't you speak on that, having that attitude, rewarding yourself small things. I mean, I do that with M&Ms in my fridge. I don't know if it's a reward, but it's definitely a treat.
Well, oftentimes people that are in a rut find it really hard to even set a goal, okay? So if you're having a hard time setting a goal or figuring out what you need to do, start really small. Just look at something and reflect upon what I did today. So if I had, you know, if I had on a goal that I was going to go grocery shopping and go to work and I did those two things, I'm going to write those down and I'm going to say, I did that today. If I did nothing else, and I might have yelled at my kid, or I might have not been the best employee, right? But I did those two things. I can focus on those accomplishments, which will keep me motivated. There are some apps that I talk about for patients that we see, and there's the Gratitude Happiness Journal or Reflectly Journal for Happiness. These are all apps that are free on your phones that can force you into an attitude of gratitude. So check those out. They're available on Androids and iPhones, but you can use those to kind of help structure and getting into that habit of creating an attitude of gratitude.
That's good. A fifth strategy you gave is recognize the power of choice. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20, God tells his people, he says, choose life. Choose life. He says, there's cursings and there's blessings. He goes, choose life. So what have you seen, the importance of power of choice? And we saw that with this guy in the story of John. He chose to believe Jesus. So what are some things that you've seen that help people with this?
The one thing that we talk about is if you are feeling stuck, ask yourself, what do I choose? What am I choosing right now? The guy in John chapter 5 was choosing to be helpless. Right? He was choosing to sit there and allow these people to go in front of him and to go into the waters. And Jesus spoke to him and said, wait, stand up, walk, and come in here, and he was healed. But you have to make that decision. You ultimately are the one that needs to make that choice. So to get out of a rut, you recognize that you have a choice to stay where you are, or you can move forward. Ultimately, though, it is your first move. So it's based on you. So you have to have that motivation to get yourself moving.
I remember, as she said earlier, your brain naturally wants to be comfortable. So it's going to be uncomfortable. The sixth strategy you gave is take breaks to unplug. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 7 says, a time to mend, a time to be quiet, which I need to do right now, a time to be quiet, and a time to speak. Man, I know for me, unplugging is so important.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is such a key thing, unplugging?
So a lot of people have social media, right? Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. It's important to take time away from that. And when you take time to unplug and kind of leave the social media and just take time for you, it helps just refocus and draw your attention to what you really need to be paying attention to.
Well, thank you so much, Melissa. And I want to encourage you guys this week. In Psalm 19, the writer of Psalm gives us three strategies on how to get out of a rut. I want to encourage you guys to read Psalm 19 this week. In Psalm 19, verses 1 through 9, he tells us to focus on nature, focus on God's creation. In Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, he says, focus on God's word. And in Psalm 19, verses 12 through 14, he says, focus on God, connect with God through prayer. You see, we all connect with God on different ways. Some of it's with a hike. Some of it's through prayer. Some of it's through reading his word. We all connect with God in different ways, and I want to encourage you this week, if you feel like you're in a rut, practice some of these things. Unplug. Read God's word. Because God, he wants to meet you there and pull you out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this day. And God, I ask, Lord, for those of us who feel stuck, Lord, that we would know you're there to pull us out.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.